Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we receive your word expressly as it comes from your spirit. Take these lips of clay and speak to us as our hearts receive your words. People that are here and those online, every life will be blessed. None will be left out of your touch tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I especially want to say a big thank you to the pastorate for this opportunity. I'll be speaking tonight on what I titled, Delay Does Not Mean Denial. Delay does not mean denial. Amen. Sometimes in life we experience delays in some areas of our lives. We experience delays even as children of God. It doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. It doesn't mean that he has neglected us. Even when there is a delay, it means that a greater glory is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember what we've been taught repeatedly by pastor from the book of Romans chapter 15 verse 4. He said these things that were written for our learning. Amen. So what we're going to study tonight is what is written for our learning so that we, through this, can be encouraged, knowing fully well that he who began a good work in us, according to the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he who began this good work in us will bring it to completion. He will not leave it aborted. He will not leave it halfway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. From verse 22 to 25. All right. So then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. He led him out of the town. Remember what he said. They brought the blind man to him and begged him to touch him. One of the aspects of what I want to talk about tonight in looking at delay does not mean denial. God has not denied you. God has not neglected you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. But be watchful of the environment that you are in. Praise the Lord. Because your environment sometimes is what makes you think that he has forgotten you. Yeah. They brought the blind man to Jesus. They were almost, just like when sometimes even within Christendom, some things happen and Christians are talking. Christians have not even started talking. Unbelievers want to tell Christians what to do. So now, what did they do for church? Now, what did they give offering? It not concern you. It's not your business. This is not something, it's not a form of worship to your idol. Don't tell us what to do. They brought him, telling him to touch him. Now, you won't teach Jesus how to do miracles. The miracle worker. Hallelujah. And begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. That's why he did that. Because one of the things Seth Man taught us some time ago, he said, Jesus worked miracles in different ways, according to the scriptures, like described in the Bible. Even Paul did the same. But when we work miracles, it is not to be taken as a pattern, as a religion. Something could happen to you now and God's servant could be led, or you could be led. If you read the scripture, you could be led by the Spirit of God and say, just take salt, put it in water and drink and you'll be fine. It's not to be taken as a tradition, as a style. And that's the reason why you see people, some people carry cross up and down. Some tie on their legs, some tie on their necks, some tie on their hands and everywhere. And when you ask them, why are you doing this? They don't know. They just see people do it and they do it. Practicing religion blindly. Jesus led the man out of the town, out of the environment where people are looking and say they want to mock him, just like what they did to in the presence of Jairus' daughter. They were mocking him. So he said, no, I won't do this here. And then he led the man out of the town. Hallelujah. And when he had, and he led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Praise God. Now, back up a little bit. Go to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, just three chapters before this. And look at verse 21. From verse 21. It said, now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Praise the Lord. Jairus' daughter was sick, terribly sick, and he needed Jesus to come heal his daughter. Verse 25 says, you know, Jesus was already on his way. And then verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many years? 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She wasn't healed. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. So the bleeding stopped. The bleeding what? Stopped. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So there is also what is called a figment of your imagination. What can you sense? So pastor prays for you or has laid hands on you and he said, go, you are healed. And then you're still saying, it is still there. Even if you are sensing, I don't know if you are getting me, it's what you want to see that you will see. Jesus didn't heal this woman. The woman, her faith healed her. Praise the Lord. Her faith healed her. Now, let's go on. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he only felt power leaving him, and then turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched you? Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. So it's possible people only see the first phase of miracle. Remember the lepers that were healed. They were healed of their sickness, but they were not made whole. There's a difference between being made whole and being made healed. You see, when somebody is healed, is recovering from an ailment or something. But when you are made whole, it means restored back to factory setting. Restored like anything never happened before. Have you seen somebody with whitlow before? I've seen some people whose hands have been, there are scars that shows that when you see their fingers, you know that they've had whitlow. Or you see certain things, you know that this has happened. If you see somebody who has had chicken pox before, you will see scars of, you know, blisters that this person has had chicken pox before another. Those are people who got healed from those sicknesses. But when you see, like, there is no sign, skin smooth and everything, and this person is telling you that I've had chicken pox before, and you say, where are the signs? He said, no sign. I remember women, even women too, when mothers give birth, after some time they have what they call birth marks and all that, from the stretch, you know, and all that. And then sometimes, once you see something, you say, ah, this woman don't born before, you can tell the woman that has given birth. But imagine someone that had no crack, no thing, no sign to show. And the person tell you that, I had Whitlow before, but see my finger is intact. There's a difference between being made whole and just being healed. When you are healed, there are still signs that show that you were healed from something. But when you are made whole, it's back to as you were made. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That was the final proclamation that sealed it up. Hallelujah. Like the story of the leper, when that one came back, he said, where are all the others? And he said, go, you have been made whole. So others were healed, but this one was made whole. Praise the Lord. 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the rulers of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Those are the mockers I'm talking about. When we're looking at delay does not mean denial. There are three facets, three significant roles I want us to look at. There are the people around who seem like sympathizers. They sympathize, but in a way, they form a kind of mockery. They make all manner of jestings and all that. Say, I think they said that they go to church. I think they know God. Why is this thing that is happening to us happening to them? Why is their case like this? So you have that set of people, that face of people. And so you have the other people, which is the victim that something happened to. And then you have the one who is meant to call. So it could be you that is coming to pray or coming to attempt to the, you know, to the rescue, to come to the rescue of the person. I remember once Papa, the late Papa Idausa talked about how when he started his evangelism journey that he went to this village with his bicycle and then he had a cry. And there was a child there that apparently was very, very sick. People were crying that he shouldn't die. They were using spoon to put in her mouth, not to, so that she wouldn't give up. And then he branched, packed his bicycle and decided to go pray. As he went there to pray, for in hand, the child Kukuma died. And he said, God, if you don't raise this child, these people, they will finish me here. For your name's sake, Lord, do it, Lord. And that child came back to life. Praise the Lord. So there's that face of people who are ready to mock you, lynch you, and say all manner of things, and mock God even in your face. There's also the victim, and there's you who is standing on in faith, standing in line for the victim. Praise the Lord. And so that's the kind of people you have here. They will say, why trouble him? No need. They call and says, make you come, he not come. He branch, they heal people when they bleed, and this, that. No need, not bother, leave and make you go with a miracle. Don't call him again. So why bother him any further? As soon as Jesus, and Jesus is wonderful. He must have been very, very patient because you hear this one. Some people will just, with their mouth, send you. I can imagine why people like Elijah would call fire from heaven. I mean, Jesus is just so kind and patient. He was just love personified. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he heard those mockery. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. You see, he calming him, even in the face of the nonsense that his people are saying. He said, do not be afraid, only believe. Let's go. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and James's brother. That's John. He said, Peter, John, James, follow me. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, crowd, and those who wept and wailed loudly. You have all those people who are always there. Like they hire them. One day, I went. You know, there are places where they hire people to cry. Yes, it happens. They hire people to cry. Say, come cry so that they'll know something. They'll come plenty and they'll be crying. They feed them. They even have price that they pay them. They did there and wailed for this. So, who wept and wailed loudly? When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? I remember talking to someone recently, who lost somebody, and I said, we don't mourn. We don't mourn like the unbelievers do. It's in the Bible. We don't mourn like that. We have hope. So we encourage ourselves. Not that it's not paining us. It pains us. But we mourn like believers. even as he pain you, you mourn like believer. A believer will not hit himself on the ground and do all manner of gymnastics and all that. No. You know what you know and you know who you believe. Hallelujah. He said, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Can you imagine? They ridiculed my master. They ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he didn't even care about the ridicule and all the nonsense they were saying. He put all of them outside. So far, you could go outside, Sha. Lock you outside. As Pastor Mumi, you are going to lock church. Lock you outside. Put you outside. Go there. Where you belong. Put them outside. He took the father and the mother and the child of the child and those who were with him. That's James, Peter, James, and John. And entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, when I was reading this place, something spoke to me. He said, you treat even a dead case like it's alive. Treat it the way you want it to respond. He took the dead child by the hand. Who takes a dead person by the hand? So he stretched his hand and took the child by the hand. Hallelujah. For your mind, in your natural mind, when you know somebody's dead, you go to the head and you want to raise the body. Is that not? Took the child by the hand. You can't raise a dead person only by the hand. What is he doing? He's teaching us faith in action. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Even hunger self can kill somebody. They give her food to eat. It's not like food is the most significant thing at that time. He wants the people out there to see her eating. This case that you call dead, this case that you called over, this case that you think is out, that God has given up, that it's over, see her eating. She walked, she got up, walked, went to eat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your faith will make things work for you. I don't care how difficult, how bad the situation is. I don't care what's happening around your world. Your faith will change, will turn things around. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see the same John chapter 5. Scroll up to verse 1. From verse 1 to 9. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boats, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling. Okay, sorry, I'm reading the wrong place. John, sorry. I was reading Mark. John, please, sorry. John chapter 5 from verse 1. Sorry, please. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. No, the other one, Bethesda. So, but this is Bethesda. So, having five porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. Hallelujah. Never make religion out of whatever leading God through his servant wrought a miracle or does a miracle in any way that God's servant does a miracle or wrought a miracle. Do not try to make a pattern out of it. I've seen people who follow certain pastors or leaders, spiritual leaders, and then because the person is doing her like this, you are doing her like this, you are calling for trouble. God does not, it's not, it's not, it's, see,
when it comes to the things of the spirit, we must be very, very sensitive. God can lead you in your own way. God can lead you in another way. I do not necessarily need to practice how to preach like Pastor Muyiwa. I do not need to mimic the way God flows through him. He has his unique way that the Spirit of God flows through him. Even myself and my wife, God speaks to us in different ways. The way I see God's word flash when he wants to speak to me is different from the way she gets it. And be okay. Be confident in your skin, in that way that God speaks to you, in whatever way God ministers to you. And if you don't have that yet, you can open up yourself and he will expressly make a way that he speaks to you. But he speaks, see, everybody can get in touch with God in their own way. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't necessarily need to form a pattern. So there was a pattern and it has formed a mindset for the man. They say, in a business class, they say, when you tie a horse, just tie a horse to a tree or something. And after a long time, even when the rope is removed, the horse will still be there. Because in the mind of the horse, the rope is still on his neck. It will not go from that circle. After a long time, it's so used, it's so confined to that terrain. And that's what's happening to so many people. You see many people jumping from prayer house to prayer house, looking for wonders, miracles, signs, and all that, forgetting that even Jesus, even the Bible says that these signs shall follow you. You can be a carrier of this power that you are running everywhere, chasing darkness that is not chasing you. And so hands have been laid on so many people, they have carried even demons on themselves. Because when you forcefully try to open yourself to something, something must happen. A spiritual thing must happen. You are opening yourself also to spirits, and there are spirits in the air. You have the tendency of tapping the wrong spirit. And God is not there. And whatever happens is your lot. So they were already confined to this mind that except there is a stirring of the water. And that's why, look at verse 5. It said, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity. How many years? 38 years. 38 years. So each year, the same thing. I think it was Pastor Chris that was trying to say that. It's only a fool that does the same thing over and over and expect a different result. The same thing. You know the tire. The same thing. You're waiting for the stirring of the water. Every year. The same thing. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. You can tell when someone had been in a condition for a long time. Because it's obvious already. His case is a perplex. It's a case that is helpless, hopeless. His body has been conditioned and formed into a particular pattern because he can't even move. It's obvious. That this one don't dey yet. So he already knew that he had been there in that condition for a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Simple question. Do you want to be made well? The guy began to write essay. Say, give me answer sheet. This one don't finish. Began to write. What was he saying? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the beginning. You know, have you seen those kind of people that you just ask a simple question? Where's the way to Ojota? Say, Ojota, when you come out from here right now, you cross over to the other side, and then you just throw back, come back to this, and then take care. As you are going, ask any other person, who's Ojota? May God help us in Jesus' name. I have no man to put me into the pool, when the water is stirred up. But why I am coming, another step that he complained even the essay when they write. First, he said, not get man. Another one says, before you go, say, make you move yourself. The man that is asking you, do you want to be made well? You don't know what package he has in his hand. Answer is before you, but you are complaining. That's how some people also have missed their blessings in life. A fine guy is standing before you that God has packaged well for you. And the guy is asking, what's your, like they ask somebody, what's your faculty? Say, eh? If she began to say something else that I'm just carrying my hand for head. Faculty. What's your discipline? Oh, she said she's very, very disciplined. And she started explaining all the things that they didn't ask her. Ah. And they asked her, what course are you studying? Say pharmacy. What year? Say 700 level. Auntie, and you don't know discipline. You say you are very, very disciplined. You are a very humble girl. You are this and that. Even the one did not ask you. Jesus said to him, Jesus said, let me just help your case. Because if I follow you by these illustrations that you are doing, you will stay here for another year. 2024 will not pass you by in Jesus' name. I don't know what it is that you are trusting God for. You will expressly connect with him and you will get your answer speedily. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, rise up, take your bed and walk. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to John 11, lastly. John chapter 11. We're going to have a long read. I'll just try to. So, now a certain man was sick. John 11 from verse 1. Now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, see, for Bible to describe her, then you know how important it is. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Whose brother, see, now that Mary they talk now. That Mary, when you treat Jesus as precious as Jesus, washed his feet and anointed his feet. Amen. Say now that Mary brother so Lazarus 96 so to tell you how precious they are to Jesus, the way to Jesus. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I ask us a question? Can Jesus delay a little bit because of the love he had for you? Can Jesus delay a little bit just because of the love he had for you? He said that he loved them so much that when he heard that Lazarus is seriously sick and his attention is needed urgently, he delayed what? Two more days. If Jesus delay on your matter, then you are very, very special. But the truth is that your natural man begins to speak. Because of lack of understanding from the spirit. So your natural man begins to speak. Artist ain't love me. Oh. Artist ain't love me. Now, so pastor, they talk to person. How about I beg, I don't tire this church self. It's coming from a place of love, but you can't see it because your natural man is speaking through you. Artist and a pastor, they teach love. Why you know they show me love now? The discipline is for your safety so that your life can be saved. And then you are already angry. Amen. He delayed 2 days. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Let's skip a few verses and then go to... Then Jesus said, okay, so... Verse 13, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twins, said to his fellow,
fellow disciples, let us let us also see. Sometimes I used to say Jesus tried. If some of us were in Jesus' position, we use Koboko. I was telling Pastor yesterday also, I said, that message blessed my life, but it has Koboko inside. Yes, and the Koboko blessed me. Amen. If some of us, if we're in Jesus' position, we'll carry Koboko the waka. Because some questions that the disciples will ask you, like, have you been with me this long? And you are still thinking like this. He said, let us also go, that we may die with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's skip and go to verse 20. He said, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, you wasted too much time. Why did you delay? If I tell us if we're not, if we're not for money, why did you delay? My brother would not have died. You know, have you had some cases? I know what I felt like when my brother died. You know, sometimes some cases you like, why are not they there? God had a reason why you're not there. Mommy, you know what I'm talking about. Why not the Afro pray, Afro cry, heaven for year? Amen. You know, it's easy to walk in God's will. He said, but even now, I know that was in matter, not only in complaining, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Say, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Meanwhile, the same matter that is saying that Jesus has told them before. That's why Jesus, if you read further, that Jesus said, have I not told you that if you would believe, you will see? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She said, I know. You don't talk and say resurrection. You have the resurrection and the life. He will rise at the final day. When have you seen where people are preaching to pastors? You never see. Now you call pastor, say, pastor, please come and pray for me. Pastor, I want to now pray. Say, pastor, see, the way I want you to pray. You won't tell her how you will pray. Because so you know why you not pray? Why you not go pray for yourself? For the pastor, make sure he has the drink, make sure they enjoy milk and bread. You say you call somebody to come on. You let the person do as led. You see, you won't tell her, say, no, see. And there's some, even while you are praying, they want to emphasize. See, pastor, let me tell you, this is not just a normal headache. Oh. You want to now magnify the headache, even above your faith. Hey, may God help us. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. That means now everything they hear, so why you they bother? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never. So what Jesus was actually practically telling Martha is that he who believes in me, if this Lazarus believe in me, even as he did that grave, so not be die, not sleep, I go wake up, Nana. See, even you that is here, that is alive, you not go see death. That's what he was telling us. There's nothing like death. Now maybe resurrection, now maybe life, now maybe here. The only thing that is available is life. There's no death. But she still couldn't get it. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus said, tire for in case. And when she had said these things, she went in. So she, that's to tell you that, you know, Jesus didn't say anything again. So after she said that, she waka, she left Jesus, went to Mary. This is my own interpretation. I perceive strongly that Mary is even closer to Jesus than even Martha. So look at what Martha did, then you'll know. She went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. Did Jesus call Mary? No. You know those kind of things that we just say, Papa, they call you. Now, you they send the picking when you know, say, you go fit, obtain, popsy. Say, Popsy, they say, they call you. Say, but I know your man. They call you. Because there's that soft spot.
So, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with, you see those, that category of people again, they're there. Professional mourners, they pay them to come and mourn. They will cry. One of them, I heard the story of one of them that they hired them to come and cry for somebody where somebody died. So the woman was crying. They gave her water. She refused to take water. They gave her beer. She put the beer for corner. They gave her rice. She put the rice for there. She not going to say, you know, go eat. Ah, this man is so nice. In fact, if they dig this grave, they go jump into the grave, go die, follow this man. One small child, come, they creep, they crawl, they come. And she looks, see what the cry says. So say, maybe I hold that pikino, because if that be a true, you're not going to take her lightly with the pikino. See what they cry. So we have them like that. Those people who are professional mourners, they hire them to go and cry. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, that's to tell you that Mary was the one who felt the pain the most, that she had not gotten up since all along. So when they saw that Mary had, that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying she is going to the tomb to weep there. So that means all she's been doing is go to the tomb, cry, come back, sit down. Go to the tomb, cry, come back, sit down. So they saw her getting, they said, ah, let's follow her. She's going to cry again. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet. Mary has also found a soft spot, a fine way of getting to Jesus. This was the same Mary who fell at Jesus' feet, washed his feet, and anointed his feet. So there's something about always worshiping, coming to the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We were not told that Martha came to his feet. Right? Yes, we're not forming tradition, but I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about closeness. Closeness. Amen. I was going to write later one day. I was going to send a message to Pastor Moyua. And then my wife saw it. My wife said, you're sending this message to Pastor. I said, She did just laugh. She didn't say anything. I sent it. Her pastor rejected it. And my wife smiled. Saying, you're not going to send a message. I said, this is how you send message to Pastor. I'm sorry, PA. Or you tell me how to send it. And then she gave me and I sent it. Amen. There are relationships and there are relationships. Amen. Let's learn to find a way to Jesus' heart. Let's find a way to the heart of the Father. We can go through worship. We can go through studying the word. We can go through prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. So, at Jesus' at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then, therefore, Jesus saw her weeping. And the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. This time now he touched him. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Let me tell you something. Martha was there. Martha did the same thing. He asked the same question. Remember, say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus not groaned. Jesus corrected him immediately. Say, I am the resurrection and the life. Mary came, fell at his feet, said the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. There's difference between you the Chris and you the Chris. One is a question. Abby? Do not say, Pastor is Pasha. Shebi, when it is Toby, see as the answer. If not me now, like say me, I don't matter. How did you come? On what basis? What's the relationship? Like I said, it's the unbelievers who want to tell us how to give our offerings, want to tell us how to do something for our God. Make something just happen now. You see newspaper everywhere, even social media, everywhere we go our God. They want to tell Christians how to do things. You don't know the God. Shut up. You can't tell us what to do and how to do our things. Make church do one thing now. Do one thing now. Empower 1,000 people. Or do one thing. Somebody just buy a car now, give him pastor. The next thing you see, other people will start talking. Say, that money would have been used to feed the hungry. You know, they begin to talk like Judas Iscariot. As if they are feeding people. How many people have you fed? Not that they care about the people. They just look for a way to want to put mouth in the matters that does not concern them. Tell them to come in. Come and give their life to Christ and follow through and learn the ways of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus was troubled in the spirit and he said, where have you laid him? That's it. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. My friend will say, Jesus wept. Mary cried. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. You see those people, you don't need those kind of, see, I've had experience with people. You don't need those kind of people around you. See now, because Jesus wept, they say, oh, he loved him more. Oh, those people, if you follow their mouth. I was watching one comedy one day, Agudai was telling Shehu in a Shanes. Shehu, don't follow Nigerians. They are hailing you now, hailing you. Say, yes, you are bringing out news. You are being police. When they will grab you and beat you and flog you, they will not be there. They will say, hey, you know, too much, Seth. The same people. You see, not the same people that said, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. And then they said, stone him, so kill him. Crucify him. You don't follow their mouth. So when the same people, after David killed Goliath, they say, David and Saul kill only how many? Just scanty people. But David, kill the thousand. When David did trouble, when he did run, they say, you don't serve too much over Sabi. It is the mouth. So do not let emotions. That's why I love that scripture that says, we are not swayed. We are not moved. We are not led by philosophies of men. You never hear theories. Somebody will come with white hair, many hair and beards. They say, I've been a professor for 70 years and he wants to tell you logic and philosophy. We are not moved by that. We are moved by the scriptures, backed up by the Spirit of God at work. Amen. Let me quickly bring this to a close. So, and some of them, they say, see how much he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, you see the same people, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Don't let what people tell you run your life for you and give you suggestion on what to do. You see the same people, how they are changing. They say, hey, he love him. They ask questions again. Could not he have stopped this man from dying? What's the need? So, something may happen. Difficulty in paying children's school fees, rent, so many challenges. You have those people that will say, now wow, at least when I got the answer prayer. So the same people say, when the other one said, now they want you to test me, say, hey God, whoa, this is my best friend, go through a lot. He mocked you before. They're plenty. When something just happened, maybe something, just when they listen to them, and then your marriage cries, I talk. I know the marriage will fail before. And then when they reconcile, say, hey, love is strong, don't follow them. And that's one thing I love that we do here in church here. You are taught to follow God. God. Follow his word. Then Jesus, again groaning himself, came to the tomb. And to cut long story short, Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And he commanded him, said, Father, he first prayed. He said, thanked his father and everything. He said, because of these people that are here, evidence for them. I said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound, hand and foot, came forth. And he said, loose him. Watch this. It's not enough that he commanded Lazarus, the dead, to come out. He had to tell them, loose him. Every unbelief, every thought, every philosophy that you have used in your mind to seal and wrap this man around, remove it by yourself. Amen. Because God has blessed us, but sometimes our philosophies, our thought pattern, is what has kept us where we are. There are some of us, we still go to the village, and then when we go home, there are things that people do, and you still do. You pass bottle rope, or you match something, or you pass it, you go do like this, you follow them and do, because in your mind, in your subconscious, you are still a part of them. No, you are different. You are different because you've been washed, you've been cleansed. A huge price was paid upon you, and you are God's son, God's child. Hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet. We're going to pray tonight. Amen. We're going to pray, thanking God, just like Jesus did, thanking God that we recognize who we are. We know that even though there's a delay, it's not denial. He still loves us. He wants to showcase us. He wants to showcase himself, his power through us. The efficacy of his word is still alive and active and is working in our lives. It will be evident. We will see it everywhere we go, in our projects, in everything we do, in our marriage, in our lives. What is that thing that is giving you concern? What is that thing that is giving you sleeplessness? What is that thing that you want God to do for you? You can talk to him about it tonight. You can talk to him about it tonight. But talk to him in a way that he would know that, yes, you are a child who understands his word, who gives his word back to him and give the command, the faith command. Lord, I thank you that all things work together for my good. Lord, I thank you that you are bringing me to a place of rest. Lord, I thank you that you are working on my behalf already. You are setting a pace for me. You are taking me to a place of rest. You are working all things. You are working all things for my good. Elamande vreno kopa, elamvreno sotali palamande, vrekado shkapanda brana mande, repapate semande, vrekado shonda brana mande, vrekado skopala mande vreno dosta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.